Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the first Grilling Guys of 2017, and we're going to kick it off with a little bit of winter wonderland. We're going to travel around, talk about a few things that might be a little different than we've done in the past. But, hey, it's a new year, and we're ready to go. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, man?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Good to see you, Jop. First time I've seen you in this whole year.
Yeah, we did spend some time together before the first of the year, but haven't seen you. So it's good to see you here. Let me, cheers to you.
Yeah, cheers.
I'm toasting a Mad Tom's Porter from Schmoe's Brewery. And also joining us in the studio is the baritone of beer himself, Chaz Thompson. Welcome, Chaz.
Happy New Year, guys.
Hey, man, it's good to have you here. But
See him when he brings a six-pack.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever been here without one.
That would be sacrilegious, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it'd be unlike you, too.
Right. I think there's a man law about it.
Yeah.
Let's write one.
I think we just did.
I'll let you write that one.
Yeah. I think we just did. If the brewer shows up without beer, then I don't know. There's an end to that.
Yeah. So how's your grilling this week?
You know what? It was fun. My friend, Mr. Sobey, had given me a little holiday gift. You know, he's such a great guy, and I went over just to wish him a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and before I walked out of there, I had these two mittens that he gave me, and that translates to these big porterhouse steaks that the way he cuts them, they look like a mitten, and I grilled those up, and I took your advice. I think I talked maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago about how I used the green egg for a charcoal grill, and I just relit it after I'd smoked in it, and I had this smoking,
we've all done that.
Super red hot fire, about 1,000 degrees, cooking
was
in there.
Was it in the garage, though?
No, it wasn't. So then this time I pushed all the coals to the back, right? So I had a cooler spot in the front, and all the heat was in the back, and was able to use it as a charcoal grill. And I always, you get home from work when I was doing this, and it's night out.
You're always rushing a little
bit. Right, you're rushing a little bit. But you get the fire going, and it's night out. And those embers, after the flame dies down, are just in there moving, you know, and they're red. It's gorgeous. I took a little video of it and posted it when I was doing it.
I saw it. It looked awesome.
Yeah, they did. They turned out great, if I must say so.
Now, when you did that, did you do it as a live event, or did you just video it and put it on?
I just videoed it and put it on. I'm probably not that technologically savvy to do it as a live event. Plus the fact it's kind of like this radio show, we record it in case I screw up. We can start over.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah. Well, that's probably safe because a live event could get a little dangerous, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Whoa. I hit the live button while I was on the can.
Yeah.
Didn't really want to do that. I played around with I had a house full of people for so long. All my kids, I have 5 kids, as everybody probably knows by now. My oldest was home with her husband and twins. My other daughter was home. My 2 boys with their girlfriend. I mean, we had a house full. Everybody had significant others. First time ever.
Right.
That was weird. And so all of a sudden, I'm feeding what I thought was an army before was just a platoon. Now I'm feeding a regiment.
Right.
And I'm like, my grocery bill is going through the roof. That's another crying story. But I had a nice pork loin, and my daughter Emily, who's turned into quite a chef, said she'd love some sweet and sour pork and fried rice. And I thought, okay. So I got my pork loin out, and I did that little trick I like to do where I cut it into 1.5-inch chops, and I took my Jacquard to it, and I took some EVO from Old World Olive Company, some garlic EVO, and I put it on it, and I pounded it out with a Jacquard, and then I let them sit in the fridge overnight, and the next day I put them on the grill. I put them on my tech.
So that pork loin is pretty tender. When you get it, you're not using the Jacquard so much to tenderize
it. No, pork loin, not tenderloin.
Okay. So the pork loin, and you drove that oil in there, and what was your reasoning behind that?
Well, because pork loin is the bigger cut, the longer
about
cut,
size of
and
softball.
It's very, very dense. There's no fat in it.
Right.
So when you grill it, just like a pork chop, you can ruin it real easily because it gets mm-hmm. dry. So I put oil on it, and I take my Jacquard. You can use a meat hammer if you don't have a Jacquard. And you put your oil on it and watch for the splatter. But pound it out, put some nice EVO on it, and let it set for a day. And then when you grill it, put your salt on, the pepper on right when you grill it, and it is phenomenal. I mean, it's so tender, it's ridiculous. So I grilled up all these chops, and then I let them cool. In the meantime, I have this giant camping griddle.
Cast iron?
No, it's nope. Steel. My wife bought it. It's just a cheapie, but it's hermungous, as my friend used to say.
Yeah.
And I put it on top of the range, and I lit all five burners, and heated it up nicely, and then I had already pre-cooked a massive pot of rice, and I had peas. I cut up carrots and onions. I got some eggs
out. Oh, you're making fried rice.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. So I sauteed the vegetables a little bit, and I dumped the it was like being at Ichiban.
Yeah?
I dumped the rice on the griddle. If you just tuned in, it's the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And
the dancing lights.
You can follow us on Facebook. / the Grilling Guys. You can hit me at Twitter. It's Grilling Guy, or you can go to thegrillingguys.com and catch some of these recipes or pictures of things you want to check up on, or just basically for entertainment purposes.
Well, so you start talking about this live streaming of Facebook. I think this would have been the event because you could have been doing a little
still photos.
I was
by myself, dude. Everybody's sitting around like waiting for Hop Singh to come out with dinner. So I didn't even have a recorder with me. So I dumped the rice on. I hit it with some salt. I dumped some eggs on there because you have to fry some eggs. It was so nice. My point is, having this giant griddle on top of your stove, it's the bomb.
If
you're a grilling guy, if you like cooking, to have that big surface, it's just the bomb. So I put some pictures on the Grilling Guys Facebook page. If you have one of those grills or griddles, try it on your stovetop because you can. I think we paid $40 for it at like Gainer Mountain.
Right. I got one that's made out of magnesium, and I think
of course you do.
Well, it came with
with your Rolls Royce, probably.
Right. Yeah, it did. But the point is that they heat up pretty evenly, and you have to be careful when you're done with them because they retain the heat. At least mine does. It retains the heat for a long damn time.
That's another story.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's why I have no tread on my fingertips. Right, I burned it off.
Oh, you burned your little alligator arms up.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, so then I took that. The fried rice was awesome. I made this big mound of it. I just let it. I shut off all the burners and let it set, and. Whipped up a little bit of sweet and sour sauce, chopped up the pork chop, and threw in some roasted red peppers and some green peppers and pineapple and all kinds of stuff.
In your fried rice?
In the sweet and sour sauce. I chopped up those pork chops, those loin chops, threw them in there, and we had a fantastic faux Chinese dinner.
Right.
I mean, right off the range top.
Finlander
I didn't even have
Chinese
to go outside.
Dinner.
Yeah, so that
the Nirmico buffet,
right? Yeah, well, there was no
fried rice left. This mountain of it that I had, not a bit left. There was one extra serving, and somebody quickly scarfed that up. I was kind of hoping to have a lunch.
Zeus wasn't Zeus,
no. But I did notice that there was probably a couple servings under the grates of the stove, so it does get a little messy there.
Bob got a little fling going on when he was frying his rice.
So it's the ice fishing and sledding show, and that's why we invited Chaz in here. Because Chaz is quite the hard water guy, and I thought we could pass out some tips on ice fishing. Can you share any of that knowledge in that big cranium?
Oh,
of yours?
I got it all.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
And he's got a really good Mad Tom's porter, a robust porter that we're sampling today.
I don't know why he calls it robust, because I think it's smooth and mellow, and it's low ABV, so that's a nice go-to in the winter if you like
it
porters. It's not a sissy porter. It's a manly porter.
Right. Coming up next, we're going to get on some hard water with Chaz. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I'm on my way to New Orleans this morning. satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson. That's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids. We even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hey, Smitty, let's fish it.
Ice fish, baby.
Hey, guys, stop. Grab your bait and listen. Ice is on the lake, so we're going fishing. With me is my best friend, Mike. We're hitting Lake Boygan for the trophy fight.
Will I catch a perch?
Hey, I guess so. I got some new jigs and a brand new Zebco. I loaded up the truck with all my new gear. Mike got the bait, I bought the beer.
Sorrel!
I got a nice pair of boots to go with my hat and my blazer and suit.
But that ain't enough.
So I chew on three pair of heavy-duty flannel thermal underwear. Drilling.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed. Fire up your grill or smoker and make it happen in your backyard. It might be single digits where you are, but that don't matter. The grill just takes a little longer to get heated up. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. And the baritone of beer, Chaz Thompson from Schmoe's, is with us.
Morning,
welcome,
guys.
Fellas.
Ice baby.
There he is.
So when I think of ice fishing, I think of Chaz because he's just a fanatic about it. And being ice fishing and sledding time of the year, who better to talk to? Oh, maybe Scott at Allen Bob's, you know, it might be in that same league, but he wouldn't bring beer like Chaz would.
We have our priorities, don't we?
Yeah, Scott.
Did I say
Scott
that?
Loves ice.
Yeah, Scott's a big walleye fisherman. I don't know if he does it through the ice, but anyway, we're talking about ice fishing right now. Chaz is part of the U.S. National Ice Fishing Team. That's a legitimate organization. Tell us just a little bit about that, Chaz, because that's a pretty cool honor for anybody that ice fishes to be part of that thing.
Yeah, the USA Ice Team formed up in 2008. And this is going to be my third year with the team. And we've been to Finland. We've been to Ukraine. This year we're going to Latvia and compete against all those Europeans, see what our skills can bring.
That's interesting. We got a bunch of troops going to Latvia right now.
There's maybe I'll see them. I don't know. I'm hanging out in Riga.
I hope you don't.
We're in the downtown district. But, yeah, we're really looking forward to that. We travel the middle of February, and we're going to be gone for about 10 days.
Wow, pretty cool. Now, bringing the ice fishing back home, when you go do that, there's completely different techniques. You've shared with me these little palm rods that you use with like a piece of X-ray tape or something on the end of them for the spring bobber. I mean, it's super sensitive, but you also catch a lot smaller fish generally over there.
Like, you're throwing terms out there that, you know, most of us don't know. Palm rod, spring bobber.
Well, okay.
You could be talking about a bunch of things.
So, Chad, explain those, palm rods, spring bobbers.
Well, palm rods are a very small rod. They fit in the palm of your hand. The rod itself is about six inches long. The spring bobber is like a piece of X-ray film on the end that is super sensitive and will detect the smallest bite. Now, here in the U.S., a lot of my buddies will go out and we pull out the palm rods when nothing else is biting. Because if nothing's biting on what you got down there, we typically go smaller on our jigs and more sensitive. And as we go down smaller and more sensitive, the palm rod works perfect because it can detect that really ultralight bite. Well, you know, maybe
it's like if they're not really hungry, but they might play around a little bit in your typical rod, you won't feel it.
Yeah. Well, more likely it's they're feeding on something very small. They're not on the big bugs that might go with a traditional jig that you're used to.
Why do you suppose that is?
It's what's in the water column. It's what's available is what they're feeding on. Depending on where it is in the lake, what time of the year it is, and things like that. Depends on what's going to be there for the fish to feed
on. This is really cool.
Bob's playing with the palm rod right now. But it's
look at the size of that.
You want a minute,
Bob? Look at the size of that hook.
Right.
I mean, it looks
that's a big one, Bob.
Really?
Yeah, that's a 2 millimeter.
So that'd be for like perch and gill, stuff like that.
Perch, bream, roach.
You don't want to get a pike on that thing.
No. Pike, you're going to kiss that. You're going to kiss that jig goodbye if a pike hits that.
So, Chaz, being a professional as you are, we need a couple tips. I'm the average ice fisherman. I'll go out a half a dozen, maybe a dozen times if it's a nice winter, and I just enjoy pan fishing. Nothing better than a big old mess of perch that we've caught. But my question to you is like when you walk onto a lake for the first time, if you're not 100% familiar with it, what two or three things are you doing before to locate the fish and where they might be?
Probably the first thing you're going to do is pull up a map. I use an app on my phone. It's $10, Navionics. A lot of the guys use it in the summer too, but it gives you bottom topography. And as a fisherman, I know that around points and dips and any kind of change in structure is where the fish are going to typically congregate. So I'm going to go look for those. Second thing I'm going to look at.
Is that like a GPS app? So when you're on the ice, it kind of pinpoints where you're going?
Yeah, it's GPS integrated. It goes right on your phone. It's $10. You look at the demo. It's really cool.
Well, and if you've ever ice fished and sat out there for 3 hours wondering why the guy 20 feet from you is catching fish and you're not, that's the answer.
Well, that's the first part of the answer.
Right.
The second thing that I'm going to look for is where are the locals? You know, if it's out in front of Bob's house, you know, and Bob's got a private lake there, Bob knows that lake like the back of his hand, and he's going to go there. So you look for the locals, not the guy in the fanciest outfit, probably the guy not in a fancy outfit. He's the one that knows. And if he's being quiet and to himself, that's the area you want to be in. And you got to give him a little bit of courtesy. We have a rule in competitions that you have to be 5 meters, 16 feet
away. So you don't push him off his hole.
You don't want to push him off his hole. You don't want to crowd him. You know, if it's thin ice, we're not into heavy ice yet.
Right.
Two big guys like us, Jop, standing right close together, that could be dangerous.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and it's ice fishing and sledding special. It's the first show of the season, and we have Chaz Thompson in here from Schmoe's Brewery and a big ice fisherman. So we're trying to give you some good tips on ice fishing.
Now, this time of the year, you got to be extra careful about that ice sickness. I stopped a couple of days ago down to Reed's Lake. Reed's Lake is not ready.
That's in Grand Rapids, right?
Yep. But I've been on some smaller lakes where there's 4 and 5 inches of ice. I was on one the other day that was 7 inches of ice.
Have you seen what the ice thickness is on Houghton Lake yet?
On Houghton Lake, nobody has reported that on our ice map on miiceguys.com. But I'm looking for maybe somebody that's listening to go get a reading for
us. Yeah, we have a lot of listeners around there, and it just it's of course, tip-up town's coming. So, right. I mean, I hope they have the ice they need. Last time we were up there last year, a truck went through the ice.
Right, yeah, while we were there. So, Chaz, tell us about this MI Ice Guys and how people can help us out with ice thickness.
Well, you know, after you guys invited me in and I learned about this how to do radio thing, I decided that I needed to do one, but I don't have the budget you guys do. Mm-hmm. So I do an internet-only podcast called miiceguys.com. And my fishing partner, Steph, and a couple of our other buddies, Chad and Anthony, we all get together and we talk ice fishing. And post it up on the internet, and you guys can listen at any time you want. It's just like the Grilling Guys podcast. If you can't get up in the morning and be there right on time,
send
maybe
it to your phone.
Send it to your phone, listen to it. It's a great thing. But we also do a number of product reviews. We also do a ice map on there where it's user-submitted data, so somebody near Houghton Lake can go out, drill us a quick hole, get a measurement, go on to miiceguys.com, and post that thickness, and then we'll know. And a new feature that you're going to help me with, Bob, is recipes. I just started posting some recipes out there for bluegill and crappie, and we'd like to get some pike ones out there and such. Everybody gets tired of just doing the fried fish
yes.
thing.
Yes.
You and know so what? We want to do some more creative
that's,
things.
That's
I got
a great
the first
idea.
One I'm going to give you, and I'm going to awesome. Give credit to my buddy Charlie Slosher. And Charlie has a crab cake, but he makes them out of crappie, and he calls them crappie cakes.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had them a dozen times at his house, and they're fabulous.
All right.
And so
nice.
I'll grab the recipe from Charlie.
So what's he do,
and,
boil the fish first?
You know, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. I go over there and eat them. I've never cooked them.
Typically, with crab, that's what they do is they boil it up and then cool it.
But you know, it's got a breadcrumb in it and the seasoning, the Old Bay, and all that other is in there, and it's fabulous.
Nice.
Yeah, so I'll grab that.
That sounds really cool.
Put it out there, yeah. Be a lot of fun.
People love crab cakes, and the key with those things is to get them crispy.
Yeah.
A lot of people screw them up, and they're mushy. Don't bother. If you're going to do a crab cake, fry that thing up right.
Yeah. Chaz, can you stick around for the next segment? We might want to continue this conversation.
We got beer left.
And we got beer left. So there we are. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Coming up next, we're going to do a little bit of winter outdoor cooking, maybe a little tips, techniques, and a couple recipes. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Another bite. Hey, guy, get ready. Dig the line twice, then you keep your pole steady. Let him take it. To the middle's good and took. Reel up all the slack, and then you set your hook. You get thirsty. A bike can be a killer. So we brought
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard, I exercise, and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fen Valley Vineyards. Fen Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fen Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FenValley.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to TheGrillinGuys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's TheGrillinGuys.com.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. I hope you're out of bed, your feet are on the floor, and you're getting ready to fire up your grill or your smoker. Just because it's single digits out there doesn't mean you can't get out in your backyard and create a little grill envy. I'm going to do it, so you should too. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. Baritone of Beer, Chaz Thompson from Schmoes is with us as well. What's up, Bob?
Well, if you're lucky, you've got some hard water in your backyard, and you can take some of those tips that Chaz just gave you and run with it or walk with it. So I just wanted to talk about a little bit outdoor cooking because this time of year, if you are on the ice, a lot of guys actually bring grills, build bonfires, do all sorts of things on the ice. But a really cool way to do it is what I call a can heater. And that's one of these little burners that sits on top of a little Coleman can.
Little propane tank.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're about 10,000 BTU. And you can cook up, you can bring out soup on the ice, or if you're snowmobiling, you know, you can put that in your little go bag. And you can build a heck of a nice fire with that thing very quickly. And they're just so small. You can cook up a major meal. Dutch oven, I know you love to use your Dutch oven. Oh, you don't have one.
No, that would be you. That would be you. I don't know as you eat a meal that wasn't made in that Dutch oven. But hey, Chaz, now, in just from a perspective, the number of guys that use shanties versus not. What is you spend a ton of time on the ice, and I'm going somewhere with this because I used to have a shanty. My family had a cottage on Gun Lake, and it was so big and so windy, and you know, you'd get out there, and we had it in a spot where we could catch perch a lot of the time. So we'd have a shanty out there. But I remember we'd get there on Friday and take a big pot of chili out there, and this burner that you just talked about, set it on there, heat it up, eat it, shut it down, let it freeze, right? And we'd do that all weekend. So we'd eat it like two or three times throughout the weekend. I don't know how sanitary that was to heat it up, cool it down, eat it up, cool it down.
I don't think you could hurt
me. It never hurt me at all. But that was in a shanty. But you were talking about bringing it with you. What do you think about the number of guys that are in shanties versus not? Is it by lake or what do you think?
Really, I think it's more by lake and by species that you're targeting. A lot of the guys that are going to set down over a kind of a fixed school of perch like you were talking about, you're in one spot and you can set up a shanty, whether it's a flip over, a pop-up tent, or a homemade plywood and tarp kind of contraption.
There's so many cool portables now.
Oh, yeah. But that's more for that sight fishing. If you're early bluegills in shallow depths, you know, you can use Grandpa's trick with the eggshells and stuff to watch them go by in the hole, things like that. That works really good. Now, if you're a crappie guy, you know, crappie move. Their schools move around. They're suspended. You don't always know where they're going to be. You need to be a little more portable. If you're tournament fishing, if you're chasing, you know, tip-ups and things like that, you need to be a little more portable, and that's where you go to the ice suits.
Don't you think the bigger lakes, too, tend to have more shanties? Because you've got to trek quite a ways out to your hole. Right. You got to bring a bunch of stuff. And I don't know, on the big lakes, I always see a ton of shanties. Where on the small lakes, I'll see guys more just kind of there for the day or a little bit, a few hours.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in the day, you didn't have the clothes. I mean, you're in your L.L. Bean.
It's a
jacket.
Stormy.
Yeah.
It's a stormy.
Well, but I mean, the guy in his L.L. Bean worm jacket, you know, right, and stuff like that, and all traditional, the wind still blew through those wool things.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. The modern ice suit is nylon. No wind blows through it, and you can protect yourself. So they needed shanties, where now it's just an option.
That's a good point. That's a valid point. It was all wool.
And so if you want to be more portable, my buddies and I, when we're fishing tournaments, you're jumping holes all the time because you need to find the biggest fish. You're looking for the 16 biggest bluegills to turn in because that's how you win. And so you're going to be jumping around. You don't want to drag a shanty. You don't want to drag all that extra stuff. But if you're taking the kids out on the lake and hanging out, or your father-in-law or somebody that's not going to be, you know, hole hopping, jumping around.
You got to have a shanty.
Right.
You get your shanty out.
But they're pretty cool, too, because they've got nice little heaters in them now. And even if you don't have a heater, just the four or five people in there warm it up. And
well, that burner that you were talking about.
It's going to throw some
chili
heat off.
And the chili provides heat, you know, and give it a minute to process.
And the exponential gas from it.
Right. Exponential. Right.
So another good food to take out on the ice is a pasty. You can wrap it up in foil, and you can either have it fully cooked, or you can par bake your pasties. So, like, if you're into
that's a term I'm not familiar with. What is par baking?
Yep, they just bake it half the way. And our sponsor, Vicky's, they'll make them for you that way. If you just want them partially cooked, and then you can wrap them up in foil and finish them off wherever you're at. That way, you have a really nice texture on it.
On that little burner.
Well, whatever. I think you'd want like a. I hate to say Dutch oven, but you'd want something like foil.
No, you don't hate to say Dutch oven. You love to say Dutch oven.
Just to watch your face.
Hey, I got a little rack on my
just
little
to watch your face.
Yeah. So no, here's a legitimate one, though. If you've got that little 10,000 BTU burner that doubles as a heater, you flip it up so you can set a pan on it. It's nothing to just bring a little pint bottle of oil out there, fillet a fish right after you catch it. You know what? Our friend Captain Ken uses a dry rub on his fish, and it's some of the best fish I've ever eaten. And he uses walleye, so that helps. But even
what's
if you
the brand
walleye,
of that?
You know, it comes in a red and a yellow, but it's a cornmeal batter. I'm
right,
trying to remember
it's cornmeal.
What it is.
We used it at Alan Bob's a couple of weeks ago.
And but it's fabulous.
That's fantastic.
But where I'm going is a little bag of that, which is self-contained in a little pint of oil.
You can and a fry pan.
In a fry pan, you can cook fish in your shanty, and they're nothing better than that absolute fresh fish. A little salt and pepper, bang, buddies are eating it.
Now, to comply, don't throw your fish waste down the hole.
Okay.
Please, DNR's got rules about that, so I want to be clear about that.
Okay.
Take your stuff off the ice. And there's nothing I hate more than finding trash on the ice.
Yeah, that's trashy.
That's bad sportsmanship.
Could you throw, and I'm asking, okay, I'm not saying I've done this. Could you throw the fish carcass out and, like, the crows or something would come and pick it, or is that not appropriate?
That's what they don't want you
not
to
legal.
Do.
Okay. All right. Because so, I don't know. I was just asking.
You know, Bring a little trash bag.
Just bring
take
your
care
cat
of your stuff
with you,
and take everything back. Bob's going back to his Asian cooking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Exactly.
No, I mean to eat the fish.
Oh, okay.
That was you.
And then you eat the cat.
Right. Wow. If you're a longtime listener of the Grilling Guys, some of that might have made sense. But if you're not, we apologize for the babble.
Now I do have a good knockoff of Captain Ken's dry dredge on the miiceguys.com. So if you need to make up your own, there's a good one right on there.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys, and we do love cats. I fed three this morning. But you can get us at thegrillingguys.com. You can follow us on Facebook /thegrillingguys. We post lots of pictures there, and I'm always putting my cooks on there just because I love showing pictures of food. It keeps me fat. But speaking of fat, it's that time of year when everybody's making their New Year's resolutions.
That's right.
I was at Snap Fitness last night, and the place was packed. I could barely find an elliptical machine to get on. So
give it a week. It'll thin out.
You know what? That place stays pretty busy. But last night, I normally don't go at 5 o'clock because everybody's getting out of work.
Right.
But if you're wanting to get that waistline trimmed up a little bit or get your muscle toned, they have awesome trainers down there. Visit Snap Fitness and fulfill your New Year's resolution, and you'll just feel better about yourself. You can drink more beer if you go to Snap. Let's put it that way.
You know what? There's no better motivation than that right there. I mean, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you.
Maybe some fried rice.
Right. Chaz, one last ice fishing question on bait. Okay, do we use live bait or do you use artificial bait? What's the pref?
You know, I'm a plastics guy. I usually go a lot to the plastics.
C4.
You get a lot more fish on that. You don't have a hatch in your coat when the bait gets warm because you left it in your coat. Things like that. But there are days when you still need to go to live bait to get the fish to bite.
Because
so
the
having
synthetics
the arsenal
just aren't doing the job.
Yeah. But the plastics are a really great alternative, and as you can see there, Jop, in that little box I handed you, there's a lot
of
shapes
and
sizes.
Randy, you shouldn't put that in your mouth. That's
and,
not really.
But it tastes pretty good.
There's lots of colors available. There's, you know, all kinds of different things that you can
those aren't
put
the,
out there.
Those aren't the gummies you're
it's
used
really,
to.
Really, really
little pink ones.
An interesting thing to do.
We
but
got pink, white, and like a chartreuse, and some of it is clear, some of it is opaque. It's you got a lot of options. He just this guy brought his bag, man. He just keeps coming with the colors and the shapes.
He never knows when he's going to see a lake he needs to jump onto.
See, that's what I would think is white the best.
The glows.
It glows in the dark. All right.
Wow.
Coming up next, we're going to be doing a little bit of hot buttered rum, if you can take it. Stick with us. We'll be back.
We'll be able to fly, don't feel the reaper, baby, I'm the man.
Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grillin' Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
This is Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
It's winter time and the weather's fine. The snow on the woods and field when I reveal my snowmobile. Thrill by gully and hill. Baby, it'll make you feel like an outdoor meal on a snowmobile. Listen to the sound of the belts go round when the winter carnival's here. And oh, what fun at the crack of the gun when the whole gang disappears. The race is on from the bush to the pond and back where the judges feel you've won.
Barbecue sale. Bob, where do you find this stuff, man? I got to tip my stormy to you there because that one is a
isn't
song
it nice?
I've never heard.
Isn't that nice?
I have never heard that one. But our producer, Brian, thanks for pulling that up and making that happen because you are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network, and this is all about kicking off the winter and the new year. And we've been talking a little bit of ice fishing with Chaz Thompson on from USA Ice Fishing and Schmoe's Brewery. And now we're going to talk a little bit of sledding with one of your buddies.
That's right. It's that time of year when, you know, everybody's heading up north to do something. Ice fish, ski, snowmobile, whatever. Just look at the snow. I mean, some people drive up to Lake Superior to look at the ice caves like my wife does when they're around. So there's lots of great things to do in Michigan. And one of my favorite year-round buddies, whether it's hunting, fishing, or whatever we're doing, is a guy named Ted Baukamp from New Life Transport. And he's on the live line right now. Probably heading up north, aren't you?
We're all packed up and heading to Grand Marais.
That's great. So Ted is the guy with the 52 Trotwood on Whipple Lake where we deer hunt.
And with the cement floor.
With the cement floor.
It is a rare version with a cement floor.
She drags a little bit when you pull her down the road, but we get there and there's no mice.
Chaz is kind of related to this story, too, because sometimes I have a six-gallon canister of Schmo's beer with me when I go up there. Right. It's happened before.
True.
So anyway, we want to tune people up on some good tips for snowmobiling in the UP. And you go up, you've gone for 20 years now, and there's a lot of do's and don'ts. Some of the things we want to know are, where are some good trails, and then where are the good places to stop if you're up there on your sled for some good food?
Well, the best snowmobiling from our experience in the UP is in an area they call the Snow Belt. And the Snow Belt basically is from Munising to Paradise, north of the main crossroad across the UP, M28. And in that area, of course, Paradise has got a lot of nice places, a lot of good restaurants and stuff. In that area, the bottom end of it towards the middle is Newberry. Newberry's got a lot of things going on there. As you get farther to the west towards Munising, there's a place called the Bear Trap right off the trail that's really good. And there's a couple of places in Sini that are good, too. I think Lake Superior Brewing is up in Grand Marais on the north end of things. But that whole general area basically is the best trails you find, you know, in the Midwest, if not the entire country. More snow than anywhere, and very well kept, and just the place to go.
Well, you've been doing it for years, and I'm just wondering if a guy has never ventured up there, what might be some resources he could use, or what he might stay away from to schedule his first trip to that snow belt.
Fishweb.com is always a good one to check for trail reports and general information. There's a lot of links on there to the different places to stay and eat and stuff. They've got trail reports and everything, too. They do a nice job.
That's pretty interesting.
Ted, when you get up there, of course, you got to have a trail sticker on your machine, but are there any fees or anything that you need to worry about when you drive up, or are there, like, the trailheads you can just park and take off from there? How's that all work?
Trailheads are, you know, kind of all over the place, and, yeah, you just park and away you go. Once you've got the State of Michigan trail report, you're all set. They won't bother you then. The state's just got to have it, or the sled just has to have a current state registration on it also. But, now, most people will start their ventures from, you know, one of the cities or towns that has a number of different hotels and some places to eat and stuff. There is a number of places that you can dig up on the different travel websites and stuff throughout the UP to, you know, rent cabins and all to stay a little more remote than the cities. But they're, you know, the net, even with all that, there's not a lot of people up there.
So the trails are pretty wide open. You got a lot of powder, and you really don't have as much traffic as you get a lot in the lower peninsula.
No, a lot of the trails, you kind of, there's a variety of things you see, but I'd say most of them are wider, and you just don't cross plowed roads like you do down in the lower peninsula. It's a whole different experience.
Now, for somebody that hasn't been up there, are there trail maps that I can get maybe on my phone with a GPS, or are they paper, or what kind of resources are around like that?
There is. Michigan Snowmobile Association actually sells the Garmin packages for the GPSs. And there is maps. Fishweb has a link to all the maps for the different regions that they have snow reports for.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys. It is our winter special for ice fishing and snowmobiling. And we're on the live line right now with Ted Bocamp, an old friend of mine who is a snowmobile freak. He's had more snowmobiles, Joppy, than I've had grills. I'll tell you that much.
It is.
He gets a new one about every year. He's a wheeler dealer, so you never know what he's going to be riding, but it's always going to be fast. And I've had some fun riding with Ted, and he's I can't keep up with him. The guy's just too fast for me. I'm a little bit of a grandpa the way I like putzing through the woods. These guys, they get her done.
We're not as fast as we used to be, Bob. We kind of don't go any faster than we can see at this point.
Well,
got his snowmobile cheaters on.
I've done that a few times. he's the guy that gave me the nickname Big Head Bob because they couldn't find a helmet that would fit me.
They don't make them big enough. Right.
Yeah. Stormy Cromer had an issue with that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, me and Einstein, okay? Right. That's all I can say.
I think he might add some stuff in there, though. I'm not sure. But anyway.
You're going to have a great trip. And I guess I'm so envious because you prioritize that time. I prioritize mine to be up at Whipple longer, and we both kind of make a trade off there. And neither one of us can do both. But each time of the year when I'm at Whipple, you're jealous of me. And when you take off up there, I'm jealous of you. So I'm going to be ragingly jealous for days. So I hope you have a great trip and make my jealousy worthwhile.
We will. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, okay. All right, Ted. Have fun, be safe, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Yeah, that's quite a trip.
You know, what is that up there to Grand Marais? You're about 4 hours to the bridge. What, another couple hours up there?
Yeah, and if you're towing a trailer, and they have like a four place, there's like four guys. They have two groups of four guys that go up. They rent a cabin, and I mean, it's not that expensive, really. Their sleds, they're wheeler dealers. These guys are usually buying 2-year-old sleds, and they're really shrewd businessmen. So they're picking them up for $2,000 to $5,000 and buying and selling all the time. They don't have giant investments.
So what you're saying is they may not come home with the same sleds they left with.
Right. Well, that's been happening too.
That definitely happens.
Yeah, right.
And only out of necessity.
Yeah.
But they take a Suburban up in four place, and it's a nice trip.
Just great time.
It's a great trip. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Bunch of cigars, some good Michigan microbrews, maybe something nice and warm, like a nice Kentucky bourbon or something like that.
Schnapps in the goat bag.
What about some rum?
Jerky.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some buttered rum, potentially. So we're going to be talking a little bit about buttered rum and how to put that together and what it looks like when we hit this last segment, little bonus segment for you. We're going to do a little man law as well.
But, yeah, so it's just kind of fun talking about Michigan in the winter. There's so many cool things, whether you're an ice fisherman or maybe you don't do any of this stuff. Maybe you're just sitting home right now in your jammies, wishing you could, thinking you're, not up to it, or it's too much money, or you're, just one of those guys that puts everything off.
Get outside. Remember, there's no such thing as bad weather, just poor wardrobe choices.
That's right. That's a really good point.
All right.
From a guy wearing a Stormy, too.
Right. Coming up next, we're going to butter your rum. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Word goes round, it's winter carnival time. In goggles, boots, and a snowproof suit, your sweetheart's on your mind. You win the race and you see her face, and you know that she must feel you've won the seal. For the snowmobile.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A man, man, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's Man Law is brought to you by Vicky's Bridge Street Pasty in Saranac, Michigan. And the Man Law is just really a basic one, but I think it makes sense. And it's a good one to remember because we've all made this mistake. If a man's zipper's down, that's his problem. You didn't see anything.
See, I think that's situational. And here's why. I'm going to tell you that I was at a meeting for our church where Barbecue Bob and I met at our church. But I was at a meeting recently, and the pastor was up making a presentation, and yep, that was his situation. It was down, and he's in front of 100 people, and he took a break, and the next speaker came up, right? So I stand up, go over to the side, whisper in his ear. You know, he zips up. He thanked me later. He was like, okay, that's cool. I'm glad I did that. And he was appreciative. But it was situational, right? Because if it had been you standing up there, I never would have said a word.
Well, I think there is a church exemption for that.
Oh,
you're
okay.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think in all things be discreet.
Right. Yeah. We didn't need to see the scepter. No.
Ouch.
But anyway, Barbecue Bob, a little hot buttered rum, brother. This is your recipe, so I'm going to let you roll with it.
It's one I stole and manipulated. Just
so that makes it yours.
Yeah. I love hot drinks in the winter outside.
Sure.
We've had some fun at different events with some hot drinks, either whether they had alcohol in them or not. When you're outside and it's getting cold, your feet are cold, your hands are cold, your heads are cold, something like that, it's just nice to get a little warm liquid in you. And I love rum. I love dark rum. And so this recipe has been adjusted for my favorite, which is it's a really dark rum, and it is Meyer's dark rum. It's a Jamaican rum. It's really smooth. There's a lot of good rums, but this one is the one I prefer for this recipe. But it's just basically a cup of hot water, a cup of apple cider, a half stick of unsalted butter, quarter cup of dark brown sugar, some cinnamon, freshly ground nutmeg, and then you need a little bit of salt and some cloves and two-thirds of a cup of dark rum, or a little more. If you like,
so you're going to put this all in a pot and bring it to a boil.
You're going to put everything in a pot except the cloves and the rum, and you're going to heat all this up, and then you're going to, at the very last minute, you're going to pour in the dark rum, and you're going to put one of those cloves in each cup. It looks cool. It adds a little flavor.
Sure.
It just tweaks it a little bit, but you only put the rum in at the last minute.
Okay, can I put this in a jug and bring it with me if I'm out of my ice shack?
You can. You actually can. And then you have to put the rum in, obviously.
Right.
Oh, you could add it there. But it's okay to throw the rum in advance.
Yep.
But you don't want it in while you're cooking it.
Chaz,
you don't want to cook
as long
it
as
off.
You stay under 160 degrees, you're fine.
Right. Chaz, speaking of putting it in a thermos and taking it to your ice shack, you got a little seminar coming up, don't you?
Yeah, we're going to be out at Sadler's in Six Lakes. That's out north of Stanton there. Steph and I are going out there as the MI Ice guys. We're going to do a little ice safety. We've got some deals going on at Sadler's. Bring your questions, man. Ask a couple ice pros your questions. We have a thing on the website if you can't make it
out there. What's the name of your blog again?
MIIceGuys.com.
Okay, check out that blog. You can download it to your phone. Take it with you. Chaz Thompson, Schmoe's Brewing Company, a great sponsor of the show and a great friend of ours. Thanks for joining us.
Drink well, boys.
All right.
Hey, get out in your backyard, fire up a grill or smoker, wrap yourself in some Stormy Cromer, and enjoy your weekend. We'll talk with you next week.
That's right. So don't forget to check us out on thegrillingguys.com. Give us your comments. Ask us questions. We love getting the feedback, even if it's negative. See ya. You should have